Welcome to I'll Marry You, a podcast with me, Olivia Coleman, full of tips and tricks from the UK wedding scene, interviews with industry experts, and a whole lot of oversharing.
Good day, good afternoon, good evening.
Do you watch The Masked Singer? I don't. I hate it. It's TV that makes me angry. The only thing that makes me angry than The Masked Singer is Dancing on Ice. And I don't know why, but I really struggle with that. Anyway, totally relevant. I hope you've all had the most magical week. What have you been up to? I don't know what's going on with the weather, you know. One day it's spring and the next day I'm in the Arctic, for heaven's sake. We had snow at the weekend. Snow. It only lasted for about an hour, but we managed to get some snow angels in, which was fun. I am so excited about this week's episode. We're doing a little something different, you know. We're trying a little something new. Drew and I have created different sort of interviews and we're compiling them. So I've got one with my sister-in-law and one of my best friends in the entire world, Tony. She is a babe. And then I've also got another one with one of my best friends, Kim, who I used to work with at a wedding venue. She still works at a different wedding venue, but she's still very much in the industry. She is like a fountain of knowledge. She's one of those people that just knows random shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, she'll just say something. She'll be like, oh yes, that was the 1850 Cezanne. Okay, all right, Kim. But the reason I got both these women on this week's episode is because I wanted to discuss the idea of a woman proposing. Because, of course, this is a leap year. We're in a leap year. And last week was the 29th of February, which is the day whereby women would traditionally propose to men. It's all very archaic, but interesting, don't you think? So I got these two wonderful women because they both proposed. Tony proposed to a woman, my husband's sister, and Kim proposed to a man, the gorgeous Reese, her partner. And I wanted to hear firsthand from them about their experiences and what they thought about it. And it was really interesting for me because it made me think about my own feelings towards it. And I don't know that I would, because I don't think I'm gutsy enough, to be honest. I don't think I've got the balls. Pardon the pun. I just don't think I'd be confident enough. And I know James, this is assuming I would be proposing to my current husband, and I don't think that he would love it. I think that he would prefer to propose himself rather than me propose to him, just because we're both very traditional and that is something that I know would be important to him to ask. So personally, I wouldn't do it, but I have the utmost respect for people that do. And I also don't think it should be a him or her thing, or a her or him or them. Or, I mean, it's 2024. Like, everyone's different. That's a word for it, right? So it definitely shouldn't be a case of man proposing to woman, you know, like man make fire and bring home wood. It's like, come on, grow up. So it's not something I would do, but it is something that I'm fully, fully on board with. And I just think it's a really interesting debate. Last Thursday, when it was the day that women would do it, it was all over the telly and all over daytime TV, because you know I enjoy a little daytime TV because I work so hard. And they were having all these debates about it, and they were talking about it, and they were getting all these celebrity couples in to talk about it. And people do have... Some people are just sort of not bothered by it. But most people, I think, have very strong opinions about it. And they feel very much like, absolutely, you know, why wouldn't women propose? Like, take the bull by the horns. They should do whatever they want to do. And they shouldn't just wait for a man to ask them, kind of thing. And then the other side of the argument's very much like, no, I'd be mortified. I want the dream. I want the fairy tale. I want to be proposed to. I suppose my argument would be that I've never proposed to someone, but being proposed to is one of the best feelings of my entire life. Genuinely. I would put it up there with holding my child for the first time. If I'm totally honest, doing one of my first ceremonies. It's just how much I love my job. There are a few moments in life that I really will remember, like on my deathbed, that I will like write down and make my grandchildren read at my eulogy. And being proposed to was one of them. It was just the most incredible feeling. So I would want that. I wouldn't necessarily want to miss out on that, but also I like the idea of giving that feeling to someone else. It's lots of pros and cons, isn't there? There's lots of question marks around this topic. So here are the two interviews with Tony and Kim, and I hope you enjoy them. I think they're fab, and I look forward to hearing what you want to say about the topic. So if you do have an opinion on it, it's never too late to come at me with your DMs, with your thoughts, with your feelings, with your stories, and I'll see you all next week. So we're pre-recording this, and it's Saturday night, and I've had a few wines because I'm ever the consummate professionnel. But I am welcoming to the podcast this week for a brief session, a trial period, if you will.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah. My sister-in-law / best friend / person who knows me better than a lot of other people, and also probably the person who calls me out on my shit the most as well. And she's been desperate to come on the podcast for months, years?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I finally invited her on because, of course, you'll already know that this week's episode is all about women proposing, and my darling sister-in-law, Tony Marie, which I'm going to call you because Tony's a man's name, as we've established, and we don't want to confuse the listeners. So her name is Tony, but she is a woman. And she proposed to my sister-in-law, my husband's sister, Lisa. And so I want to hear all about it. So that's why you're here.
Great. Good.
Begin whenever you're ready.
Okay. What do you want to know?
I want to know... I don't want to, like, offend anyone by being, like... It's different, right? Because it's two women. And that's not me being offensive, right?
No, it's not being offensive at all.
And then I was thinking about this the other day, and I was like, well, you can't do the traditional thing. But then, and I hope this isn't offensive, traditionally speaking, two women wouldn't...
Well, someone's got to propose.
No, I know, that's what I'm saying. So you proposed to Lisa.
Yes.
And what... Talk me through the thinking of proposing to Lisa. Because you're two women, so you don't have the traditional aspect of the man proposing to the woman. Did you ever think, even like before you came out or whatever, did you ever have in your mind that the man should propose to the woman?
No.
Why?
Because I never expected to get proposed to. I never really thought I was going to be married to a man. There was nothing ever going to be traditional about it.
So you didn't have to get rid of that preconception?
Not in the slightest.
Okay. So you were together for how long?
Oh, do you want to hear the full story?
I do, but if it's boring, I'll cut you off.
No, it's not. So Lisa and I met at a festival. We were fundraising for the Red Cross, WOMAD Festival. Shout out to WOMAD.
Is that Bristol? Amazing.
No, well, it was actually closer to Lisa's mum's house, but I was there with my girlfriend at the time. Uh-huh. We were together. It was great. And we met Lisa, and I knew there was something special about Lisa, but that was it. It was, we just made friends. And then 2 years down the line...
We became lovers.
Girlfriend and I weren't together. We re-met and... Bob's your uncle.
Were you in touch for those 2 years?
No.
I didn't know that.
No, not in the slightest.
So how did you find her? Because you're very old and this is a long time ago, so you wouldn't have slid into her DMs. Did you send her like a letter via horse?
No, we...
Did you ride over fields to get to her?
We ended up at a big gay gig together.
Who was playing? Pink?
Indigo Girls.
Right, sure.
second best big gay gig.
Alanis Morissette.
No, she was there with her friend. I was there by myself, actually.
Were
I think.
You?
Yeah.
Oh,
I sad. Was newly free and single and out having a whale of a time. And, went for drinks and rest is history. But in terms of the proposal,
how long had you been together?
When I proposed, about 6 months.
Stop.
Yeah, genuinely, about 6 months.
That can't be right.
No, I promise. November 2000...
When you thought about proposing was 6 months, or when you did propose?
No, so we got together November 2009 and I proposed in July 2010. Oh, okay, 7 months, 8 months.
Right, Carol Vorderman. I feel like I knew you in the picture longer than that before you proposed.
Well, no, we met December 2009.
It's a wonderful time for me.
Yeah, a snow day.
So it was. It was a great snow day. So you decided that you were going to propose.
I think I'd already decided that the first time I met her about 2 years before we actually got together. She's just wonderful.
And well, she's the best human that we know.
Yeah, I knew she was my person.
So did you at any, you've said already that you didn't at any point have this preconceived notion that you would, that a man would propose to you.
No.
So that was never a question. No. So you, did you have, that tradition aside, did you still have like the old school notion of getting down on one knee? Did you have, were there certain elements of tradition, so to speak, that were still in your thinking?
No, I don't think so. I think I was excited and I think I was freaking out about whether she would say yes or not. But I don't think there was any...
What ring did you get?
Well, there is the most amazing jeweller in Bristol, Diana Porter, who...
We'll tag her.
Oh, Diana Porter sadly passed away recently.
Mm.
She's amazing.
We won't tag her.
No, the business is still going.
Right, we'll tag her.
She's amazing. Incredible, incredible lady who just does the most beautiful jewellery. And I knew I wanted the ring to come from there.
But she doesn't wear jewellery.
Lisa?
Yeah, not really.
No, she doesn't.
So that's interesting. At any point, did you think of proposing without using a ring?
No, I didn't. But I was very mindful of the fact that she doesn't like jewellery when I chose the ring.
Okay, so you chose something quite...
Simple.
I was going to say bland. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, don't do
I'm
that.
I'm so sorry.
You are an asshole. Don't do that.
No, it wasn't planned.
No,
it's not planned.
No,
I'm sorry.
It's simple. It was very much Lisa style. She doesn't like jewellery, you're right. She can't wear jewellery because she's a physiotherapist, so it's got to be simple or something easily removable. She didn't have a big, fat
finger.
Nugget sat on her finger. Right. No, not in the slightest.
But that wouldn't suit her.
No, it wouldn't. No. It wouldn't. I went for a simple band with a diamond sort of enclosed in that, and the words "on non" ran the side of it.
Aww.
Because eternity, why not?
And also, when you're in a relationship of any sort with you, it does go on and on.
You are such a dick.
And on. So, talk me through. So, you got the ring, you had the ring made.
Yep.
How long did you have the ring? Did you ask anyone's permission?
No. No, I didn't. And
I didn't know.
I'm
it was coming.
I'm slightly well. No, okay. So we.
That's interesting.
There are issues with that.
Oh, okay.
Lisa wasn't out at the time.
When you got engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, hang on a minute.
No, she wasn't out at the time.
But I feel like I knew about your proposal.
Yeah, you did. You did.
I'm very confused of our timeline now.
So
we're having like a family domestic on the podcast.
No, okay. So she was out to you and James, but she wasn't out to
her parents.
Any of the parentals.
Yeah, okay.
So I was very much a secret.
But then what was the time? I'm confused now because I feel like I remember we're engaged to her mum.
Mm.
No? Have I made that up?
Yeah.
That's mental. I've completely created this.
Yeah, we told you guys.
Story in my mind.
Yeah. So it was just before her 30th birthday. I took her to Italy for her 30th birthday for a week.
Do you think she had any idea?
No.
Had you spoken about it?
No. No, oh, not in the slightest.
You're brave, aren't you?
Yeah, I knew she was my person, my lobster.
Aww.
And I wanted to let her know. So I had the ring in the side pocket of the cargo shorts that I wore all the way to Italy.
Of course you did.
And I wouldn't let
Everyone loves a stereotype.
Well, you know.
Were you wearing combat boots?
Yes.
Of course you were. Is this when you had your dreadlocks?
Yeah.
So you had dreadlocks, cargo shorts, combat boots, and you're about to propose to a woman.
Stop painting a picture of me.
I'm just trying to let the listeners know what they're dealing with. Okay, so you went.
I'm not a lesbian at all.
Sure. So you went to Italy.
Yeah, I took it to Italy.
Where in Italy?
So we did a tour. So we flew to Rome. We caught a train to Siena for the Palio, which is the horse race. It's like a cultural thing there. Did the horse race. Picked up a straggler while we were in Siena and went to Florence, and she came to stay with us in Florence.
Is that a lesbian thing?
No, but it's relevant. So
what was her name? Simone.
Prisca.
Of course it was.
Prisca.
Continue.
So picked her up in Siena, went to Florence. She stayed in our hotel room in Florence with us.
What? Why am I feeling like I'm literally hearing this for the first time?
Florence was...
Was she attractive?
No.
Was it a sexy thing?
No. Okay. No. It was, she had nowhere to go.
And you are two of the nicest, she is the nicest person on earth.
We couldn't leave her in Siena.
Why was she on her own? You were on your own. No, you weren't on your own that time.
I was with Lisa.
Okay.
No, she had nowhere to go. She was completely lost. She was from Bologna. We let her stay in our room in Florence, and she almost messed up my proposal really badly, which is why it's relevant.
Okay.
And then we went to Venice and carried on doing our tour.
So, hang on. I'm very confused. When did you propose? This is sounding like I've literally just met you.
Yeah, I know. I'm not even sure I've told you this story.
I don't think you've ever told me the story in depth. Or if you have, I was drunk and I don't remember it. I'm very... Okay, right. At what point in the Italian cruise did you propose?
Florence.
Which was the first stop?
No.
No, Rome was the first stop. We flew into Rome.
Flew into Rome. Right. Did Rome for a couple of days.
Picked up Sonia.
No.
Babushka.
Went to Siena.
What was her name?
Prisca.
Met Siena.
Went to Siena. Did the Palio. Had our toes sucked by a random Italian guy.
What the... Jesus wept.
It was the weirdest trip.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing listening to it.
So, got to the train station after the Palio. We were both fairly drunk. There was a girl on the platform. She was by herself.
Is this Priscilla?
This is Prisca.
Yeah.
She had nowhere to go. She had nowhere to stay.
I feel like this whole topic of conversation has taken a turn and we're now talking about her life rather than your proposal.
Yeah, no, it's fine. So she came with us to Florence. We already had a place booked to stay, which was a 3-bedroom, but there was just the two of us staying in it. So we smuggled her in.
Okay. What, in your suitcase? You didn't have a suitcase. You've got cargo boots on.
Everything was in
dreadlocks, for fuck's sake. You probably had
pockets.
Some sort of backpack.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, so she came with us and that was fine. And then the next couple of days, she wanted to come sightseeing with us. So we did...
But that was when you were going to propose?
Yes.
And so why didn't you tell her about the proposal idea? She could have, like, filmed it or been involved.
No, I just met her. I didn't speak Italian.
I know, but you invited us to your bedroom, so...
No, well, but it was different. We were...
You were being fancy free, weren't you?
Saving her life, basically.
Yeah, sure. You were the Liam Neeson of this scenario. You were Liam Neeson.
No, so she came sightseeing with us, and there was one place in particular that I had planned to propose.
Which was where?
Piazza Michelangelo, which is a square overlooking the whole of Florence, which is stunning. And we were up there and she was still with us, and it was really busy and it wasn't the right time, because I was like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this now.
Because there are people around.
Well, and Prisca was with us. It was just, I got annoyed.
Fucking Prisca. Had you decided what you were going to say? Had you have a speech prepared?
No. No. I wing things.
You just had the ring in your cargo shorts.
I just knew I wanted to tell her that she was my lobster. Aww. Yeah, so that didn't happen.
Had you thought of proposing over a lobster dinner?
No.
Right.
No.
That would have been good.
I hadn't got that far.
You could have been like, order lobster. I don't need to. I've already got mine.
Yeah, I hadn't got that far.
No, well, you're not quite the wordsmith I am.
No,
but please
clearly.
Go on.
No, so then we carried on. It was a good 2-3 days sightseeing, and Prisca didn't leave, and
clinger.
We ate random slices of pizza, and we went to random places, and it was lovely.
Yeah, was it fun?
Yeah, it was. It was really fun, but I was getting to a point where I was fully annoyed because I was like, I just want to propose.
Were you getting anxious?
Yeah, no, anxious and just irritated, I think.
Yeah. Well, that would be on your dating profile.
Yeah.
Tony Marie, anxious and irritated.
I concur. I concur.
Also, a love of cargo shorts.
Oh, yeah, but then we Prisca was still with us, but we'd done some wandering and we went to a pizzeria to obviously get a pizza, and they let us behind the counter and showed us how to cook the pizza, and
that's cool,
in the oven. It was amazing, and we got a pizza and a beer each, and we went to the tiniest little park. I don't know if you know Queen Square, Bristol.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was something like that, like a tiny little
square.
Not
that tiny.
Small enough. It wasn't a big park. It was just a little square in the middle of buildings.
Nice.
And some guy started playing Green Day on the guitar, acoustic
Aww.
Guitar.
Oh, I love this. You're really painting the picture.
Honestly, it was the... Hope you have the time of your life. Yeah, so he was playing that and Prisca fell asleep.
Classic Prisca.
Which was great because it was like...
Because you drugged her.
You're asleep. Fabulous. We had our pizza and our beer each, and I asked Lisa to marry me, and...
Did you get down on one knee?
No. We were all just led on the grass, like just chilling.
So Prisca's passed out because you've drugged her.
Yeah, basically.
You're lying on the grass with a beer and a pizza.
Yeah.
And you just said what?
I can't even remember.
We don't need to know word for word, because that's a very private, intimate moment.
Yeah, no, essentially it was just...
You're my lobster.
You're my lobster. And do you want to spend the rest of your life with me? And she...
She said no.
No, she didn't say no. She said, hang on, I was going to ask you at some point. And I was like... Okay, so what is that
answer?
So
even 6 months in, she was going to ask you as well.
Yeah, she was...
And she hadn't even come out yet.
No.
Oh, my God, I'd die.
No. And then it was... And then she said...
But I can't because you're wearing cargo shorts.
No, she said...
Because of your dreadlocks.
We're going to have to live with each other first because we weren't even living together at that point.
Oh, that's very sensible.
And she was like, we haven't lived together properly, so we're going to have to live with each other to make sure that we're... You know, vaguely compatible before this is okay. And I was like, okay.
I have not known any of this story.
No, I don't think we've had this conversation.
Well, you've been saving it for my moment of stardom.
My moment of stardom.
Yeah, sorry.
My moment of glory.
Yeah, your moment of glory.
Yeah, so.
And then what, you gave her the ring and put it on her finger?
Yeah, which I had incidentally had sized by a friend who I thought had vaguely the same size hands.
And what was it, right?
Slightly too large.
Well,
slightly too large.
You're going to go too big or too small.
Yeah. But it was fine because at that point I was like, okay, this isn't in my pocket anymore.
Also, it's better to be too big because I feel like you can, you know, the tinfoil trick. Like, yeah, you can pad it out. But if it's too small, I feel like that would be such bad omen.
Yeah. But this was just before her 30th birthday, at which point the trip was for her 30th birthday and we came back and... That was the point at which she came out and there was a party and it was, you know...
Magical.
All incidental. Yeah.
How do you think that you would have felt if she had proposed to you first?
Oh, my God, I would have cried.
Obviously, because you're the teary one.
And she's my person.
I know, you've said that.
Yeah, but, I mean, if my person had proposed...
Are you sad that she didn't propose to you?
No. No, because she was my person. That was it. It was...
If you were with a man, would you propose to him?
Yeah. If it was the right time and I was... that was what I wanted to do, yeah.
Some people say that when women propose to men, it's not because they're being all, like, feministy. It's because they have, like, issued an ultimatum or the man isn't proposing to them, so they just do it.
No, see, I don't look at it like that. Tradition is a thing, but I feel like if you love someone and you want to propose to them, then why not? it shouldn't make any difference as far as I'm concerned. I genuinely believe that. Like, I'm of the opinion that all people are equal. It's not the man should do this or the woman should do this or this is how so-and-so should behave. I feel like you do you. You do what you want to do.
So you proposed to her and you gave her a ring and then she gave you a ring, which I know because I sold it to her because I was working in a jewellery shop at the time, not because, yeah, I was one of those people with a waistcoat full of bling. So at what point did she give you a ring?
It was later down the line.
Just randomly?
Yeah, we weren't getting married immediately.
So she kind of did propose to you?
Well, yeah, I guess in that sense. Yeah. She sort of did a second proposal with the ring. It wasn't a proposal, but it was...
But it was a piece of jewellery to, like, cement the...
Yeah, very much so.
And then you got married.
Yeah.
And it was the best day of my life. Yeah. I love it. I feel like I've learnt something about you.
Yeah, you did the best speech.
I think you've done a really good trial audition for the podcast. We'll see how the viewers feel.
Okay.
The listeners, if they like you or not.
They're going to love me as much as Alex.
People really like Cousin Al.
Yeah. People, can you like me as much as Cousin Al, please?
No, I don't know if
I'm
they will.
I'm desperate to be a regular.
I thought you were going to say I'm desperate to be liked.
No, not that much.
Okay, well, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how the people respond to your story.
If you love me, send Liv a DM, please, please, because
you're sounding desperate.
You'd make my life.
You sound like a desperate Nancy.
I just want to prove Liv wrong.
I would also like to point out that how many years has it been since you proposed?
14.
So in 14 years, Tony Marie now does not have dreadlocks. She is wearing some questionable trousers, but they're not cargo. No, they're linen. They're lovely.
They're linen.
Her style is still wanting, but her heart is true.
And my sister-in-law is an arsehole.
Oh, that was lovely. Thank you.
Good.
We'll tune out. Say bye.
Bye, everyone. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
It's okay, you can continue to talk. You've just done what?
30 hours of work in, well, I say 30, probably closer to 40 hours of work in 3 days. So I'm exhausted.
What, just weddings back to back?
No, we did 2 food taster events, a showcase and a spring fair. So I've been working like 7:30 a.m. till like midnight.
Stop. When you say spring fair, I feel like there should be Morris dancers and lots of gingham.
I wish there was. Sadly, not quite as exciting. But yeah, it was gorgeous. We had about 600 people through the door. So kind of like a wedding fair. So we had suppliers, we had our stuff set up. We had, couples and their families all coming in. So yeah, it was good.
Oh, such a hard work.
But I'm exhausted. I'm ready for a really good sleep.
Oh, my love. When's your next day off?
Wednesday, and then I get the keys to the house on Friday.
Okay, that's something I need to know about, but they don't care. So
let's get on with what we're actually here for.
But that's exciting. I need to know more about that. So Miss Kimberly Wallace, that's not her real name. Kim is an old colleague of mine and one of my dearest friends who I love with all my heart and soul. And I must love her very much because she shares my birthday. I wouldn't put up with that shit from just anyone. And so Kim and I used to work together when I worked at the wedding venue years ago. And if any of you listening are one of my own couples, you have her to thank because it was I've spoken about you before, Kimmy, because it was you that gave me the idea of being a celebrant.
It was totally something you were made for. I
wouldn't have thought about it without you. I thought about that today. I was like, there's no way I would have come up with that one on my own.
Because you sat in the office when you were pregnant with Lola and you were like, I really still want to be involved in weddings, but I want to do the nice bit. I don't want to have to do the full on hours that we all do as event managers and running venues. Like, it's insane. And I totally appreciate that. And your love of theatrics and how outgoing and personable you are and so warm. And like one of the things that still amazes me to this day is that every couple I would go, oh, so-and-so that's getting married. And you're like, yes, Paula and Josh or whatever. And you're like, oh, and they have this child and with, you know, called this and they're this old and they've got this really lovely dog. And I'm like, how you remember these details about people is insane. And I was like, celebrant. And celebrancy was just coming in at that point. Yeah. There was some old school celebrants, wasn't there? But it was absolutely the thing. I was like, no, you were made for that stage of being at the front of somebody's wedding.
Honestly, I have you to thank for everything. You're it. You're the beginning.
You've done the hard work.
No, you're the stone that began to gather moss rolling down the hill or whatever it is. But because Kim works at a different wedding venue now, but she's still an event manager at the most gorgeous wedding venue, Sanfried. Did you say Sanfried?
Sanfried House.
Sanfried House, which I have two or three weddings booked with you now.
That's amazing. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm so excited about that. So there's actually a lot that we could talk to Kim about because she is an industry professional. But I've got you on today just for a little snippet because this week's episode is all about women proposing. And yes, because last week, well, this year is the leap year and last week was the 29th of Feb. And Kim and I met up for lunch before Christmas. And because we are very similar, it took all of about 5 seconds for me to notice a massive fucking rock on her finger. And then she told me the story and I was like, I couldn't stop crying. And I was so happy for you. I was also the whole time thinking, oh my God, this should be on the podcast.
And so here I am.
So here you are. So start from the beginning. I mean, it's the most amazing thing. I've already written your ceremony. So
you're having me. Do you want the ring story as well?
Yeah, I want everything.
Okay.
So
I had thought about marrying Reese. So Reese and I met at work. And we both started this new job on the 19th of September in 2022. And being me and coming into a senior role and kind of not having a huge amount of guidance, you know, initially joining the company, my senior was off and I thought, I'm just going to introduce myself to everybody, having no idea who anybody was, what their roles were, where they sat in the company, how long they'd been there, anything. So I wandered through the garden and I thought, oh, there's somebody there. And he was crouched in amongst the white roses,
grinning
and just weeding and getting on with his day to day. And I literally stopped in my tracks. And then I was clammy because I thought, oh my God, he is so handsome.
Yeah, like he is unbelievably so handsome. Like he is so fair.
And I wandered over and I was like, it's really nice to meet you. My name's Kim. And he was like trying to pull his glove off. And he was a little bit
sexual. He was wearing gardening gloves.
He was wearing gardening gloves.
He was crouched. I don't know why it makes me like a West Country accent, but he was crouched in the bushes.
Yeah, exactly that. And he kind of fumbled around and shook my hand and was like, it's nice to meet you. I'm Reese. And I complimented him on how beautiful the gardens were because they are stunning here. And I later found out that we had started on the same day. I knew straight away that this person was special. And it kind of went from there. We got together in the December at our staff Christmas party. Such a cliche.
Yeah, classic. But
a couple of weeks before that, I finally had admitted to myself that actually I was in love with the gardener. And I was just...
What is it like? It's like an erotic novel, isn't
like
it?
Lady like, Chatterley's lover or yeah, something.
It is. I know. It's like, you know, the party planner and the bush tenderer.
Yeah, oh, exactly like that. And I had said to my sister, I was like, I love the gardener. And she was like, you can't do that. You can't go there. She was like, you're his boss, you know this. I was like, I know. So I kind of put it to one side, but the Christmas party, well, everything came out, didn't it? And the booze, and that was it. That was kind of the start of everything, really. And I then I mean, we've had a bit of a roller coaster of a year, but I mean, we came out the other side and I was like, I want to marry this man. I'm that little bit older. I know what I do and don't want. I'm very, very sort of pragmatic in that thing. I'm like, no, you're not good enough. Yes, absolutely. And I found him and I felt like I'd known his soul forever. And I thought, well, there's not really any time to waste. And I'd been looking at jewellery and thought, well, saving for a house, I really shouldn't buy diamonds. But
so you I kind of had you yeah. spoken about marriage?
Oh, very
have you spoken
early on.
About it? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Very
so
early.
You knew that he was open to marriage, and
yes.
had you ever even said like how it would be, how the proposal might happen?
No, I had thought I'd like to do it because I thought he would be nervous and the money around buying a ring and that type of thing, I think for him was actually adding stress to something that should be beautiful and not stressful. I'm not saying it's not nerve-wracking, because it was absolutely nerve-wracking. But I think that the joy needs to outweigh that. And I didn't want that for him. And knowing that we were saving for a house and things just meant that I kind of took things into my own hands, really.
So you knew, so you discussed it, you were in love, you were having a wonderful time. You knew that you were going to get married eventually. And knowing you knowing him as a person, you thought, like you say, I don't, that's the stress that he doesn't need. I'm going to do it for me, because I know you. I was thinking earlier, if there's anyone I know that would have proposed to their partner, their boyfriend, it would be Kim. Like, I just know what you're like. You're very independent. You're very outgoing. You're very confident. And you're just like, well, why wouldn't I? Fuck's sake. Why wouldn't
yes,
I?
Yes. And then I started to doubt myself. So I had all these thoughts and I thought, I'm just going to ask him to marry me. I was like, I'm just going to, it'll be fine. And my sister said, oh, you can't do that. Why would you do that? And I'm like, what do you mean, why would I do that? Well, why wouldn't I do that? And I spoke to one of my dear friends as well, and she was like, oh, yeah, but don't you want to be proposed to? And I was like, well, yes, of course I do. But it's not like a fairy tale. You know, it doesn't happen like it does in the movies. Like, that's not real. And as much as you can go, oh, yeah, it was magical. Like, ultimately, I wanted to marry him. And I was just like, right, that's the decision. But I did second guess myself. And I sort of to'd and fro'd for a little bit, probably a couple of months of
what
going,
were the doubts?
Yes, because these two people that were so close and important to me had just planted that seed of, well, really, do you want to be the one to ask? Don't you want to wait for him to ask? And like, what happens if he says no? Or what happens if it crushes his ego? Or what happens? And I was like, oh my God, I haven't thought about all these things. Mm. I was just like, I love him. I want to marry him. I'm going to do it. End off type of thing. But yeah, that kind of planted the seed. And I thought, okay, well, maybe I will wait. And I sort of hovered back and forth. And then I was still looking at rings. And I'm part of this wonderful little jewellery community on Facebook because I love antique jewellery.
Kim loves art and she loves antique jewellery and she loves shiny things.
Yes, yes. Magpie, total magpie. And I thought, well, I'll just keep an eye out just in case, you know, the right thing comes up. I'd already decided what ring I wanted to buy him. And that was easy because of his love of the outdoors, and this is going to sound nuts, but trees and plants and wood and like all of that. I wanted to get him a wooden ring, but I knew that it wouldn't like stand the test of time, so I actually yeah. had a band made for him that's tungsten on the outside, and the inside is walnut, is carved walnut. It's absolutely beautiful.
Oh my God. You're very good. I would have just got one. I would have just, I don't think I'd even get one.
What do I propose with? That. I thought, well.
That's amazing. Did he wear jewellery anyway?
No. So the only thing that he will wear, and he doesn't wear it at the minute because we're not married. So he didn't put it on, but that will be the ring that he'll then wear when we're married. Because he was like, guys don't wear engagement rings. And I was like, yeah, okay. I get that. But I had to have something to give you. And he doesn't wear a watch or anything like that. And I thought, well, what am I physically going to propose with? Like, there needs to be an exchange or a token of something. So, yeah, the ring was the right thing. And
so then you found your ring. This is the real story. Sod Reese, the real story is the story of the sinking Titanic ring.
So this wonderful dealer based just outside of Cardiff named Beverly, she runs a lovely little community called Gales Gems on Facebook. And she basically buys and sells secondhand and antique jewellery and has done so for years. And her father was in the trade as well. And yeah, I kind of joined this group wanting to learn a little bit and looking out for pieces of jewellery to buy. Because I love quirky and unusual and things that are a little bit different and aren't mass produced. So I thought, well, this will be fun. And I watched things being posted, and the ring that I actually ended up with got posted sort of September time. And I had seen it and thought, don't really want to pull the money out of my savings. I was like, is this the right time? Should I? Shouldn't I? And I didn't. I didn't do anything about it, which at the time, you know, in hindsight, it's a wonderful thing. I regretted it. I was just like, that was the ring. I was like massive regret. And it's also the worst feeling knowing that you're never going to get something the same because it's an antique. And I was like, well, okay, you got to let it go. Like, just, it's fine.
Did he know? Did he know that you were even looking at rings, or that you'd seen this ring? Did he get any idea about this?
No.
Sure.
No idea.
Sure. No, that's good.
Because I always scroll jewelry anyway. So I'm constantly looking at sparkly things, regardless of whether I was going to buy one or not. Because, Magpie Central over here. So it was just by chance that I actually thought, I'm just going to message Bev and just see if it's still available. I'd saved the little like video and profile she'd done on it on her site. So I scrolled back through my Facebook saves and found the video and sent it to her with a message and was like, is this still available? Kind of hoping that she'd come back and say yes. Well, that is in fact what she did say. She came back and said, the sale's fallen through. It is available. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, all right.
It's fake.
Well, I literally was like, well, that's my ring. I was like, okay. So she messaged and said, you can come and see me.
I feel like I'm more excited about the ring than the fiance. I'm sorry.
That's all right. You're allowed to be. Look, I mean, glitzy central.
It's one hell of a stonker.
But she invited me to her house, welcomed me with the warmest hug. And honestly, I can't say enough about that experience for me too. Buying my own ring was a big thing, like pulling money out of savings and being like, yes, this is the right one. And almost not being able to do it with anybody else. I would have loved to have shared that with Reese, but I kind of was like, oh, surely I need to have the ring. And so it did roll really quickly, like really quickly. Mm. But she was wonderful, arrived, and her long kitchen counter was spread with jewellery. I have never seen
your favourite day of life.
Yeah, like it was actually epic. And she was like, do you want a cup of tea? I'll take your coat. And I was like, this is actually immense.
Is this heaven? Have I actually died?
And she had a mix of stuff from, like I say, antique, you know, Georgian pieces, all the way through to modern things that were made a few years ago, but people have pawned or people have sold, you know, for different reasons. And she buys a lot from the trade, refurbishes, repolishes, resizes, recuts, finds missing stones. Like, she is incredible. And they work with a really great bench as well. So I had to have my ring resized. But yeah, I arrived and she had said, oh, I've brought all of the clusters, the diamond clusters, out for you to have a look at. And she put them all in lovely little boxes. And she was like, do you know which one it is you've come to see? And I sort of leant over and looked at all the boxes and I was like, yes, that one. And she was like, well, you are good. And I was like, it sparkles differently. And she then gave me a lovely little lesson on the reason that old cut diamonds sparkle differently. And it's because they have 58 facets and not 57. So they've got a bottom, instead of being cut to a point at the bottom, they've got a flat bottom. Which is an extra face, an extra facet to the diamond.
So flat bottoms are a good thing.
Flat bottoms are a great thing.
Who knew?
And they just sparkle differently.
Flat bottom girls, love it.
Yeah, flat bottom girls, exactly that. And they are my absolute favourite old cut diamonds. You just can't beat them. And so I tried it on and it was a bit big for me. And I stood there and I put it back and I tried on some other things and I tried on some Art Deco pieces and I tried on this absolute mama jamma of an emerald, and it just wasn't the same. I just didn't get the same feeling. And she goes, you can pay a deposit now, I'll resize it for you, you can do it on layaway. And I was like, I kind of want to take it home with me like right now. But it needed to be sized anyway, so I moved some money around very quickly, and she was really patient with me because I was faffing around with the bank and my phone. And yeah, I kind of was like, okay. And she gave me a reference number and the bank details, and I sat there and transferred the money, and she was like, right, that's lovely. She packs it up in a little envelope and writes some details on the front of it. And she goes, I'll send it for resizing. We sorted my size out. And I left like over the moon giddy that I had paid for it and it was done. And I was like, "Woo, it's mine." And I then got a call the following week. Literally, it was probably less than a week. I think I went on the Tuesday, and by the following Monday, it was back from being resized. And she was like, it's here. She's like, do you want me to post it straight out to you? I was like, no. I said, but is that okay? Is it all right if I come back round and pick it up? It's only an hour's drive from me. And I kind of wanted the joy of picking it up. So I arrived again, yeah. Really warm hug and a really warm welcome. And she had put it, you know, the red Cartier boxes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Black velvet lined, this was, with a little push button stud on it, and it popped open and she'd polished it and it, oh my God, I literally can't tell you, that is what I did. And I jumped up and down on the kitchen floor and she was like, are you okay? And she could see the joy in my face. And I was like, yeah, I said, but I'm going to wear this all the way home in the car anyway. I said, before I then have to put it away and figure out when I'm going to propose. So this was mid-November time last year, and I thought, yeah, well, why not propose on our 1 year anniversary, which is the 13th of December. And I got way too excited and I just couldn't wait. So it actually didn't quite happen as I had originally planned it. So I thought,
how had you originally planned?
Okay, so I thought that I would take him down to the Gower, which is sort of Swansea, West Wales,
beautiful,
way, which is where we had had our Christmas party, and that coastline and everything there is beautiful. Just the two of us, and again, something really simple on the beach or on a walk or something, sat on a bench, something that was just relaxed, but that there was a place and it was special and it was something.
A person meaning.
Yes, exactly that. Yeah. And somewhere we could go back to and revisit, and that kind of became integral, like, to our story, I think. And that all went out the window.
Oh, no, why?
Yeah, only because I got way too excited. And I look at him so often, or had looked at him so often, thinking, marry me. Like,
oh,
marry me.
Marry me.
And I kind of thought, actually, I didn't want to wait. His ring had arrived. I had mine. I'd been carrying them around in my handbag for a fortnight. And I thought, this is ridiculous. Like, one, I hadn't insured my ring yet either, which was the stupidest thing in the world. And I was panicked. And it was literally attached to my side in my handbag, thinking, he's going to find it, or I don't know, or I'm going to lose it, or someone's going to steal it, or he's going to go in my handbag for something and see it. The panic, honestly, I now totally empathize with men proposing, because it is one of the most nerve-wracking things I think I've ever done. And I've stood up and spoken in front of people. I regularly welcome hundreds of people to the venue, work.
What is it that makes it nerve-wracking? Is it because I always thought that the hardest bit for men to propose, if we're traditionally speaking, is finding a ring. So you found your ring. You found his ring.
Yes.
You had an idea of how you were going to propose. So what is it in your mind that is so nerve-wracking?
The rejection, the fear of rejection.
Oh, darling, that's ever so deep, isn't it?
I know, but it genuinely is. My stomach's churning at the thought of being like, do they want the same thing? Regardless of whether you've spoken about it or not, it's still normally driven by the man. So they've made the decision and they know normally that the woman, I think, yeah, being the other way around, the woman... is ready and has already hinted massively. Okay, has hinted massively.
I'm here, darling. I'm here. So do you think that you would have been as nervous? Well, I suppose it would have been different if he was proposing to you. Do you think you felt more nervous because you were doing something that was untraditional?
Yes, I think that had a huge element to play in it as well. Yeah. Almost, I suppose the judgment from everybody else. All of my female friends are like, yeah, that's amazing. Like, well done, get in. My mum and dad were a bit like, oh, okay. Because it's very untraditional. But I don't think it should be one way or another anymore. I think it's very much we want to get married, and actually, yeah,
I think also it depends, like what you said right at the beginning, of what he's like as a person and what your life was like at the time. You didn't want to give him that added stress. Like, I think it depends. It should depend less on gender and more on the person. So yes, there's normally in a couple there's going to be one who's slightly more confident, slightly more outgoing, slightly more proactive. So it makes sense for that person, regardless of their gender, to be the one to ask the question, and the other one, I'm sure, regardless of their gender, should be happy to be asked.
Yes. So because of the doubt that crept in, I thought that I would float a question to him when we were sat at home chilling on the sofa one evening, because when they'd kind of put that doubt in my mind, I was like, I don't want to bruise his ego. I don't want to ruin a plan that he might have already. I just didn't want it to be something that actually ruined other plans or made him uneasy, because it wasn't supposed to be about that. And it wasn't supposed to be about a power or a control thing either. But like you say, someone is normally more outgoing, and that is me in our relationship. Shock. Of course, I know. Shock horror. And so I sort of subtly asked him, I said to him, we were led on the sofa one evening, and I said, so if I was to propose to you, I was like, would you be upset or hurt, or would you feel emasculated? I think that's kind of what I asked him. And he was like, no, absolutely not. He's like, actually, it would take a lot of pressure off. And that's kind of where we left it. And we carried on talking, and I was like, okay, it's the right thing to do.
I think that's very sensible, actually, because in the same way that a man would, like as a couple, you would have a conversation about getting married and getting married and about proposals and things like that. Why wouldn't you talk about it? So it makes sense that you talk about it, and it makes sense that you would ask him that question, because then it does, as long as you believe he's being sincere about it, it does take away that extra level of nerves.
And he had said previously in another conversation, he was like, we'd been talking about getting married, and he was like, well, if you were to propose, like he had thrown that out in a throwaway comment. He was like, it wouldn't mean that it would stop me thinking about proposing. He's like, but if you did. And I was like, okay.
I feel like that people would look at the situation and think, and maybe less of the man for not being a man and taking control of the situation and proposing. Whereas I look at someone like Rhys and think he is the most masculine and the best, biggest man for being able to say yes to a woman proposing. That makes him way more man to me than other men.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because like when my friends had said, oh, are you sure it's not going to bruise his ego and this and that? And I thought, well, no, I don't think it is. But then doubted myself and checked, you know, that he wasn't going to be upset by it. But he is very good like that. He's very...
So how did you actually do it then? How did you actually propose? Did you get down on one knee?
No.
Okay.
So we were sat in bed one morning and I looked over at him and he was totally disheveled. He needed a haircut. Oof. His beard was all long and messy and it needed a trim. And I just looked over at him and I was like, I love you. I am totally in love with you. And I thought my stomach was churning at this point. And I thought, okay, now's the time. So I got up and was like, do you want a coffee? So really casually grabbed my dressing.
Coffee.
Yeah, literally like... knowing full well that the rings were downstairs in my handbag. So I was like, okay. I was like, grab a coffee. We sort of had the morning together, but I popped down, made a coffee, came back up, and he's like, are you all right? And I was like, yeah. So I popped his coffee on his bedside table and I didn't sit against the headboard. I sat facing him then. And I was still wrapped in my dressing gown. He's still like tucked under the duvet. And I looked at him and I was like, we have had one hell of a year. I said, but I am so thankful for you in my life. I'm so grateful to you for all the support and just the person that he is to me. And I said, I wouldn't want to do life with anybody else. I was like, will you marry me? And his face, I can't explain to you. I thought I might get a kind of really casual. He lit up like a beacon and his face, he smiled from ear to ear. His eyes, he's got the most beautiful eyes anyway, but he just like beamed, absolutely beamed. And he was like, yes. He was like, of course I will. And he pulled me in across the bed and cuched me. And I was like, I've got a ring for you. So I was like snuggled in. And I was like, I've got a ring for you. So I showed him the ring and it's in a beautiful walnut box as well. So he opened the walnut box and he was like, oh my God. He's like, this is just perfect. He's like, it's so beautiful. He's like, I knew I always wanted a wooden ring. I said, but working with his hands outside all day, it just would be battered. So yeah, having it put in titanium meant that it'll last and he still gets the wood as well. So yeah.
And you gave him his ring and then when did what happened?
And then I turned into a massive girl and giggled and I was like, and I bought myself a ring and I handed him the box and I was like, you can put it on me now.
Oh my God.
But it was lovely and we had this lovely little like bubble for the rest of the day. We didn't tell parents and things immediately. Probably tail end of that day or the following day. My mum and sister knew I was going to do it anyway and I'd already told my dad, but his family didn't know. We then sort of drip fed all of that information to families and friends and things, but yeah, it was lovely. It was so personal and intimate a moment and it wasn't this big song and dance, but it was just perfect. Like I said, I knew what I wanted. And it was him, regardless of how that proposal comes off. Like, it was spend your life with me more than just marry me.
Kimmy, don't. I'm going to cry again. I could not stop crying when you told me over lunch. We were having fizz, but I still could not stop crying. It just makes sense because I know you very well and I feel like I know him from speaking to you about him for so long and what you've been through and how much you've fallen in love so quickly but so hard. And it just makes sense. It's who you are as a person. Like I say, if you were a little timid, mousy little thing, I would be like, whoa, what's going on, old ballsy? But you're not. You are a take charge woman. And like you say, you're in your 30s, and so you've had some relationships in the past. Some were shit, some were all right, and you know what you want and
everything
you don't
in between.
Yeah, and you finally found your person. So why wouldn't you? I mean, to be asked to marry you is the most wonderful feeling. Like, so you're giving him that gift, and he said yes, which is giving you a gift, and then you're going to have the most wonderful wedding ceremony by Olivia Colman,
of course.
And it's going to be magnificent.
Although I feel like you're so busy, I'm going to have to book you up years in advance.
I know. I will. I'll make room for you. Is there any part of you that regrets asking or that thinks, oh, it would have been nice to have been proposed to?
I don't regret it at all. There's no regrets. Because ultimately it means we're going to get married. Like asking whether he asked or I asked. Yeah, of course. I mean, being a girl, you always think that you are going to be proposed to. And it's one of those magical things that you think, oh, and you think about it like a fairy tale and they create these dreams and the drama around it. Hmm. And yeah, I think it would have been nice, but I don't regret that I was the one that did it. Ultimately, like I said, we are going to get married and that's it. End of. I'm going to spend my life with Reese.
I also think
the outcome was the same.
I also think that you proposing to him, that doesn't mean that he can't propose to you in the future or like he can't do his own vows at the wedding or you're still going to get everything that you ever wanted.
Yeah, exactly. And I've just made the decision about it. You know, I like to make decisions. I don't like to be the one that it's something that I want and I'm not allowed to go and get it. No, not in this day and age. Sorry. I think it needs to definitely.
Oh my God, I love it.
I love traditional. I love antiquated. I do. There are some things that it absolutely is right for. And I love old traditions. But I also think surrounding weddings now, there is no right or wrong. There is no should or shouldn't. I have clients come and see me and they're like, well, what should we do? And I was like, well, what do you want to do? Top table etiquette or cake cutting etiquette or whatever it is, whatever surrounds it. I just think, no, do you. You have the celebration that you want. You make the decision and you tell me and I'll make it happen. That's the kind of thing. Oh God, so I was like, no, I'm going to make it happen for me. I'm too old now, Liv. I'm 35. It was time.
one year exactly younger than me. I think that you know I love you to pieces and think you're wonderful. But I also think that I should come to your venue and we should do a venue-related podcast at the venue with sort of cake.
Let's do it. Absolutely. Can we
get that in?
I recommend
commercial
director for that too.
Okay, we'll do that then. Drew will have to come with us so that he can time us because otherwise we'll just talk too much. But I thank you for sharing your story because I just think it's wonderful. And I think that, like you say, when your friends are a bit nervous about it, when you told them, I think it's really important that people also hear from someone who did it, doesn't regret it and is empowering and inspiring.
Yeah, I mean, darling. As a woman in this day and age, I think you've got to take charge of your own life, like around everything.
Don't just sit around and wait for that man.
Exactly that. You want it, go and get it. Like he was the right person. It was the right time. That was it.
I love you. I love you so much. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing it with
everyone.
You
are so welcome. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to leave you a voice note on WhatsApp the second that you hang up, because I want to know everything about everything. But I love you and I will see you soon.
I love you, my darling. I'll speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye. So this week's RSVP, I got the most fabulous message on Instagram, a little DM from, where is she? Karen. Karen, where are you? Let me find her. Hang on. This is really professional, isn't it? I'm just looking at my Instagram DMs while I'm recording. Karen. Karen writes, I proposed to my now husband on his birthday while we were camping after a few Negronis. Good girl. It was a bit off the cuff. / she was pissed. I had been thinking about it for a while. We had discussed the idea of me proposing and I knew he was on board. I hadn't made any plans, couldn't decide what to get him to propose with. Then we went on a camping trip with friends over his birthday and I found out our friends weren't staying for his actual birthday evening. And it popped into my head that maybe it was an opportunity to propose. I had to have a pep talk with myself in the campsite toilet. And even then, I had several drinks and didn't actually get the words, will you marry me, out. He had to confirm that's what I was asking him. But it was wonderful, just me and him around a campfire listening to Phoebe Bridgers. We then went to pick a ring for me and a watch for him. It was great and I would highly recommend women proposing. I love that, Karen. I think that's great. Because that is, like you say, off the cuff. You'd had a few drinks. It felt right. See, this is what Kim was saying in her interview. It just felt right. Like, why wouldn't I do it if it feels right at the time? Why would I let stereotypes and tradition and archetypes and stuffy old people like put me off doing what I want to do when I feel like doing it? I think it's amazing. Interesting that you proposed without a ring. And interesting that you said watch, that he went and chose a watch. So Kim said in her interview that when she proposed to Reese, she proposed with a ring for him and a ring for her. She went into detail about the ring. I don't know if you listened to that portion of today's episode, but girl like her bling. Okay. And I was thinking if I was doing it myself, I would propose to James, but I would do it with the watch because I think that unlike women, men don't ordinarily wear engagement rings. They do wear wedding bands. I would want to save that. And I know that there's a particular very nice watch that James would love. So I think if I was ever going to propose to James, it would be with a watch. But I do think it's a nice idea to have something. And I do think it's nice that you went and chose those two tokens together after you'd proposed. And interesting again that you, Karen, like him, had already had that discussion with your partner. So you knew that he wasn't going to be like angry at you for doing it yourself. And you know what? You're married now and I assume you're happy. So bloody hell, good on you, girl. Good on you, girl. Oh, love you, Karen. Love that journey for you. Love that journey for all you powerful, beautiful women. Thank you so much for listening. It really does mean the world. If you find this podcast even remotely helpful or moderately entertaining, share with all your friends and family. You can DM me any questions, queries, if you want to share any stories on the podcast Instagram at I'll Marry You Podcast. Get in touch. I want to hear all your tall tales. See you soon.
I'll Marry You is a podcast by Olivia Coleman. The music is Mr. Sunnyface by Wayne Jones, and the show is produced and edited by Drew Toynbee.